Floyd Little joins us on Sports Byline, Hall of Fame running back who spent his entire career with the Denver Broncos. And in fact, he played on the Denver Broncos for some 9 years, and he was the sixth overall selection of the 67 draft, which was the first common NFL and AFL draft. How surprised were you to be drafted by Denver, Floyd, when they called out your name?
Well, I was very surprised because I had planned to go to the Jets with Joe Namath and Matt Snell and the boys. And when I got drafted by the Broncos, I was not a happy camper.
What was it that you knew about Denver or didn't know about Denver?
Well, I thought it's where the people with the covered wagons would go through and get jumped by the Native Americans way back in the day. I didn't know Denver even had a team. I had no idea where Denver was because we never, flew that direction when I played for Syracuse. So Denver was a place that was very remote for me, but happened to be the best thing that ever happened to me.
When you got to Denver and had a chance to acclimate yourself to the mile-high conditions there, was that a difficult thing for you to do, Floyd, after having played your college ball at Syracuse?
Well, yeah, just see some guy running back a punt return and falling out in the end zone because he had no air. I mean, you needed to call a gas truck right away to give him some gas. It was very, very challenging for me to play in the Mile High City, which I had no idea that we were playing 5,000 feet above sea level. And, yeah, it was very difficult getting acclimated. But once you got acclimated to that environment, you were able to perform well.
You were the first ever first-round pick for the Denver Broncos. You became known as Floyd the Franchise. That carries an awful lot of weight and responsibility. Did you feel that, or how did you feel about being labeled that?
Well, I was the guy that they drafted, the first guy that ever to sign with them in the first round. And it was a challenge because I'd come from a great winning tradition with Syracuse University and before that Bordentown Military and before that a high school. But it was great. It was great having the opportunity to be a part of a city that built a franchise around you. And I've watched it grow and flourish since I've been gone. And, it was great having to be a part of something as grand and glorious as being called a franchise and being the first round draft choice to sign, being the first guy up on the Ring of Fame, being the first running back in the Hall of Fame. I mean, this is great for me.
You know, the one thing that they always said was that the AFL had a different type of philosophy toward offense than the NFL. Did you find that to be the case? What was the philosophy of playing offensive football in the old AFL and then when they merged with the NFL?
Well, it was a little different. You would note that at the end of my career, or during my career, you would find when the teams merged and they stopped playing Super Bowls, the NFL had to copy the AFL because the AFL was so far advanced in how they ran the offense, especially Hank Stram and the things he did. And that created a whole new way of playing football. If you look back, you see the AFL won more Super Bowls after the merger than the NFL. So it adapted. The NFL got a lot of the AFL coaches. Now it's all pretty much even. Now it's flip-flopped every other year now. So it's pretty much even now.
Floyd, one of the things that I always loved about the old AFL, and it even carried into the merger with the NFL, was the rivalries that existed in what was the AFC West. And that was Denver against Kansas City, Denver against San Diego, Denver against Oakland. What was it about those teams in that region of the country that created such great rivalry games?
Boy, they're still today, Ron. It's just unbelievable how we hate the Raiders. Always hated the Raiders. Kansas City was always a team we couldn't beat. And from time to time, we can beat the Chargers. But that was a real big rivalry that we would lose all of our games for other cities and other teams we played against. But we had to win against Kansas City, San Diego, and the Raiders, especially the Raiders. It was one of the greatest rivalries in pro football, and I think it still exists today.
Well, was there a hate level to it? And I don't mean to use that in a real negative way, but, I mean, did you guys just disdain seeing them win or want to beat them a little bit more than the other teams?
Yeah, it was. It bordered on hate, even though I knew quite a few of the players. Willie Brown and Nehemiah Wilson at the time lived in Denver. We used to train together. But, there was a real hatred toward the Raiders. We just, they were physical, they were mean, they would take cheap shots at you, and we take cheap shots back at them. So it was a hate thing, not like with Kansas City or San Diego, but with the Raiders, even now, I think it made it even worse when Mike Shanahan was fired by the Raiders. And Mike Shanahan came to the Denver Broncos, and I know Mike Shanahan said we can lose 14, 15 games, but we can't lose to the Raiders. So we can lose 14-2, but as long as those two were against the Raiders, because he hated the Raiders and he had his team players hate the Raiders as well. So, yeah, that's been a lot.
Yeah, that's a little bit like the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, is it not? You don't care if you lose the other 10 games as long as you win the one against Michigan or Ohio State.
Those are the only two that really counted. You know, when you count your season as a success, you would look at how many times you beat the Raiders, not so much the other teams.
One of the things that I remember in talking to some of the players of the Minnesota Vikings when they used to play at Metropolitan Stadium, Floyd, was the guys talked to me and said that anytime they played a team from the West Coast or from the South, like Miami, that they made sure on that Sunday afternoon when it was snowing that they would come out and they would have shirt sleeves on, because they knew that the guys from the South and the warmer climes just hated to play in that type of weather. Was it the same way? Did you all have a kind of a mental advantage playing at the Mile High Stadium there?
Well, no question. When it was cold, we'd come out with our short sleeves and kind of mess with the guys that's going to be playing against us. And they look at these guys. They must be in pretty good shape. They can come out with short sleeves on. So it was a mental game, psychological game that we played with all of the teams that we played against.
The other thing, too, is that, you know, the teams that were coming from sea level or down lower, when they got to the Mile High City, I would think if they came in for, you know, on Saturday for a Sunday game, that it was real hard for them to get acclimated. Did your game plans kind of take advantage of that some way? Did you guys run series or particular plays in order to try to see what type of reaction you'd get from the offense against their defense?
Yeah, we had a lot of plays where we would have no huddle, and the guys chase you down and have to come back and line up again without taking that 2 or 3 second breath. Yeah, we had certain plays, a lot of running plays, a lot of plays on first down, a lot of plays with no huddle to take advantage of those guys not being acclimated to that climate. Yeah, that worked very well for us, and I still think they do the same thing today. Also, you can see the punts and the kickoffs. I mean, there's more longer field goal attempts, more longer punts in Denver than any place else in the National Football League.
You played your college ball at Syracuse. You were a three-time All-American player there, and I remember doing a game on CBS when you played against Cleveland in the Mile High City. And it was the first time I had ever seen you play in the National Football League. And I'd only seen you a couple of times off of highlight reels and games when you were at Syracuse. And I'm thinking back upon your running style. It was compact. And I always remember one thing about Floyd Little, the first step that he took to the line of scrimmage. It was explosive. Tell me a little bit about your running style and how it developed.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ron. My whole goal was to hit the hole as fast as I could, and I used to really just really upset the offensive linemen because their whole time was spent trying to beat me to the hole. That was always a race for me to get to the hole before the offensive linemen. So I really, really helped get them ready to play, helped get them off the ball a lot faster, especially if he was running a trap play. They had to beat me to the hole. So it was a running style that I used to hit the hole as fast as I could. I believed that they would be there, and I would just get there, try to get there before they get there. And if they got there late, I would get creamed. But if they got there at the right time, I had a big lane to run in. And I would always run at least 15 yards down the field, even in practice, so I can get used to running long distances just in case I did break through. A lot of the runners today, they run and don't expect a hole there, and they kind of tiptoeing around. My running style was to try to beat the offensive line to the hole and to run at least 15, 20 yards down the field before anybody could catch me. I did it every day at practice. I did it every time I carried the ball. And that's how I ran for 9 years with the Broncos. And every time I ran the ball, I ran as if it was the last time I ever run the ball. And that ensured that I would give you the best that I could on every play.
Floyd Little is with us, Hall of Fame running back. And Floyd, the other thing that I sense, too, is that you understood your physicality. And I mean talking about your size and how you were compact, and so therefore you would lower your head and not give them much of an area in order to hit to bring you down. And you had great balance on your feet as well. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah. Well, my goal was to see if I could run out of a regular wagon without touching the ground. I mean, I would always run at a very low angle, so it would give them very little to hit. And if they hit anything, it would be my arms and not my legs so much. And, yeah, I had a different running style where I would lean forward enough so that I wouldn't fall, almost in a stumbling mode, but have enough power to accelerate from that leaning-type running style, and that really helped me. And I can see, I held my head up. I was able to move left or right whenever I could, but up the field more than side to side. I was an up-the-field kind of runner and try to dodge one or two guys and head for the goal line.
Jim Brown said something interesting to me, Floyd, and I never knew that running backs understood this, and that was the fact that he said he understood from moment to moment in a game when he had gotten every inch out of a run and he knew exactly when to shut it down. How does that instinct get developed? Did you have that same thought about that you had gotten as much and therefore you only went down when you had gotten everything you could?
Oh, no question about it. I would never go down before my time. I would always try to get every yard. You know, you only have so many plays in life. I wanted to take every play that I had and get the maximum out of it. Like Jim Brown, I would lower that head. I would scratch for every yard I can get. Even I was able to, push myself off the ground many times and lunge another yard. Like Jim Brown, I would get every yard I possibly can get because you never know what that extra yard would mean at the end of the year.
The other thing, of course, that's the essence of the success of an outstanding Hall of Fame running back is the offensive line. Talk to me a little bit about your Bronco line mates.
Well, if you recall, I didn't have that many. I played with 27 different quarterbacks during the course of my playing time and about 40 offensive linemen. So there was no continuity. There was just guys out there doing the best they could. And near the end of my career, I had some pretty good offensive linemen and Aaron Jackson and Marv Montgomery and people like that that helped me get 1,000 yards and more. But for the better part of my career, I played with a lot of different offensive linemen, and we never had the continuity that we needed to really, really rack up the yards like Sid Emmett Smith had the opportunity to do. But I'm just thankful for the guys that I had to play with. The offensive linemen did all they could for me on every play. I knew that. We had a great quarterback. We had a great center in Bobby Maples. And we worked hard every play, and they used to call me folks. Let's do this for folks. Let's get this one for folks. Folks, we're going to get you 100 yards today. I mean, we had a great understanding, and my offensive linemen sold out every play to make it happen for me, and I can't thank them enough for selling out. Even though I had 40-plus offensive linemen to play with, the ones that I played with, they did all they could to help me get to 100 yards per game, so I'm thankful for that.
I think the word I could put on Floyd Little to that is adaptable, that you adjusted very nicely. Before I kick you loose here, Floyd, tell me about your most memorable game or games or moments in your career, the ones that still stay with Floyd Little when he has a chance to kind of sit back and reflect a little bit.
Well, there's been a couple. I think you saw one of them, the Cleveland game. That was a good game that I enjoyed because it was Floyd Little Day that year. I can tell you it was October of 1972. Was a memorable game. The other game was a memorable game. It was the last game I played, and we played against the Philadelphia Eagles. We played against Bill Berge and the great Philadelphia Eagle team that we beat in my last game in Mile High Stadium, where they carried me off the field. And one of the plays before the end of the game was I called a screen play, and Steve Ramsey threw me the ball, and I ran it for 60-some-odd yards for the last touchdown going against the south stands that I've ever played in Mile High Stadium. That was a memorable game, but the most memorable game is the one where Lou Saban fired me for fumbling the ball against the Buffalo Bills. We had it, the game won. I was running out the clock. I fumbled the ball. Butch Bird picked it up. I got up off the ground and tackled him. They kicked a field goal with 20 seconds to go in the game, and the coach wouldn't let me go back in. He fired me for the kickoff. Well, I went back anyhow, in spite of what the coach wanted me to do. I disobeyed his order, and I went in. And I remember Jim Tunney coming to the huddle saying, hey, you guys got 12 guys in on the field. One of you guys got to get off. I'm going to have to throw a flag. I said, you can throw as many flags as you want. I'm not leaving. I'm going to run this kickoff back, and we're going to win this game. So Lou Saban kept yelling for me to get out. I didn't go out. My roommate, Fran Lynch, went out. He was in place of me. Kicked the ball off. I ran it back. One play left to go. Marlon Briscoe threw me a 70-yard pass. We kicked a field goal with 5 seconds left, and we won the game. And Lou Saban hired me back at the end of the game. So that was the most memorable game that I've ever played in Mile High Stadium when I got fired by the coach on the field and refused to leave the game, and we won the game at the end of the day.
Great memories for a man who had a great career in professional football and college football as well, because you're in the College Football Hall of Fame. Floyd, thank you for your time and sharing those thoughts with us. Take care, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Thanks for the call.
Floyd Little, Hall of Fame running back. He went in 2010 with Russ Grimm, Ricky Jackson, Dick LeBeau, John Randall, Jerry Rice, and another great running back, Emmett Smith. We continue with more of You and Sports Byline.